T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Which can be problematic, as we well know. So, Brian, we have a guest here to kind of explain you as a parent. So this is personally for you.
Yeah, totally.
Well, have you noticed they're okay? Or are they getting depressed?
I'm not sure. We're going to bring in Professor Melissa Whitson here from University of New Haven, psychology professor. I don't know if we'll know the potential damage any trauma for some time.
Long-term.
But let's just, Professor Whitson, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being on.
I really want to start actually take a step back for a second. You know, we know there's been mental strain on every level of age group, right? I mean, for the kids, it's the social isolation. For adults, we hear a lot about depression, even suicides, a rise in substance use disorder. What age group do you think in this pandemic has been sort of hit the hardest?
Wow, that's really a difficult question to answer, actually. I think it depends on who people are focusing on a lot, because, as you mentioned, they're all being affected, but in very different ways. So oftentimes, you know, I've seen where adolescents are struggling a lot because of the isolation, where preteens, you know, who kind of are falling in the middle of that are really struggling. And young kids can struggle, too, just in, you know, for different reasons and different ways. So it's hard for me to say who's struggling the most. But then we have, of course, adults. Say that anybody at any age who is truly more isolated than others is probably the ones that are having the most difficult time. But that's not, you know, across the board.
And yet, if you're living with somebody and you're not alone, let's say you've been married for 50 years, whatever you have been, I mean, that puts a lot of stress on you, too. So I don't think there's any easy way out of this, is there?
No, there isn't. This is, you know, traumatic for everyone, and how that impacts people, how that trauma gets manifested, how we deal with it is going to be different for everyone, not only because of developmental reasons, but also because we're different people.
Well, let's start breaking it down into some specifics then. You know, again, I'm pretty transparent. I mean, I have a 14-year-old daughter who is fully remote, and you know, she doesn't really want to be around me that much, and I don't know how much she wants to be around her mom, but she is socially isolated. What are some of the things that parents can do to help somebody in that situation who's maybe preteen, teen, and they're socially isolated and we're worried?
Mm-hmm. It's really difficult. I think the key is to just try and tune into your child as much as you can, even though they don't want to be around you that much sometimes. Yeah. You still know your kid, and you can see differences in, you know, mood, differences in other behaviors. Obviously, they're not able to hang out with their kids, their friends as much. But, you know, and just be on the lookout for anything that might be concerning you. And also try to leave the door open for them to talk to you or to express frustration. You know, oftentimes when we're dealing with stress ourselves, we don't want to hear about other people's stress.
Right.
But it's really important for, you know, kids to be able to express that frustration. And for some kids, that's going to come out in behavioral issues, not necessarily them talking about it.
Right.
So, you know, I struggle. I have a 7-year-old who's been home for the last
few months. God, yeah.
And I have a toddler. So my level, I see this knowing how difficult it is to keep our patients and also try to give them a little bit more room to understand where some of the acting out or some of the moodiness might be coming from.
Well, let's go to your youngest child and the toddler. Mm-hmm. How old is the toddler?
He'll be 2 in March.
Okay.
I mean, that's a lot of work, by the way, to have. A lot of work.
You won't have to change diapers for a while. You will be changing for the rest of your life. That's that depressing anyway. How does a two-year-old, I mean, what do you see that would show how this is manifesting? Are they even aware of this?
No. So two-year-olds will just be tuned into how their caregivers are feeling. So if I'm super stressed, like, he might respond to that and be more upset or more irritable, right? Mm-hmm. So for older kids, it's really important for parents and caregivers to tune into ourselves first. Oftentimes, how kids process trauma is a lot of times based on how caregivers are dealing with it and how we're able to be there for kids. We want to put our kids first, but it's really important that we tune into ourselves and see how we're dealing and what can we do better to help ourselves so that we're better able to be there for our kids. And so for toddlers and really young children, that's even more apparent because they're so attached and dependent on their caregivers for how they're going to process emotional information.
We're talking with Professor Melissa Whitson from the University of New Haven here with Ray and Brian here on WTIC. You know, again, projecting just my own focus here, and I know there's a lot of parents that are listening. We've relaxed screen time rules in our house because of this, and as we were sort of advised to do, right? I mean, especially if, you know, like, that's one way they can connect with other people, or it's a way to pass time. I'm concerned about the rollback efforts when we're through this. Like, and how do we get that time back and push them back into the experiential element of our lives?
Yeah, no, I've had concerns about that too. I think Sesame Street is on in my house right now, most nonstop in the morning. I think that's true, and we all feel a little bit guilty when we let our kids on the screen too much. I think it's important for them to still have screen breaks, where even if it's cold, try to get them outside or do something else. Mm-hmm. But they're just going to be on more screens now, and particularly for older kids like your daughter, if she understands why you're letting them have more screen time now, then they're going to understand that once, you know, we roll things back, that's what's going to happen. So setting that expectation ahead of time and letting them know the reasons why will hopefully reduce some of that resistance. Once they go back into school, they're not going to be, they're not going to have access as much to the screens, at least not at home. So hopefully that will also help.
I wanted to, you know, jump in here for a minute because you've kind of led us there. Once you're back in school and life returns to whatever normal is going to be, is there still some lasting effect from this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we know that, again, even if you haven't been directly impacted by, you know, someone being sick or dying. This is still traumatic for us, right? There's still this loss of control, this sense of fear that this pandemic has led not only, and also just an upheaval to our lives. So we are going to be dealing with the mental health impacts of that for many years. And it's not to be scary or like it's going to be severe, but it's definitely going to be lingering and going to be things that we're going to have to continue. It's not like it's going to be a switch and that's going to go away. So that's something that we're all going to have to continue to check into for ourselves and our kids.
Well, I guess we're going to have you on again then in the very near future. Hey, just for a minute, I mean, there's a story I read over the weekend which kind of got us to you. But it was like, for example, and we found this with COVID, that a lot of people who had elective surgery or maybe even necessary surgery scheduled had it postponed, didn't want to go into the hospital, whatever it may be. When a kid has issues that he or she is having to deal with, do you find people are canceling appointments? That's what this one article said.
Canceling, like, for your physical
for
health?
For therapy, you know, for working on the issues you're dealing with.
I've heard different things from different providers. So for some people, they're virtual. And so virtual therapy, in some ways, can be more beneficial because it increases ease of access.
Okay.
Right? People are able, they don't have to worry about transportation or other things to get to their appointments. But on the other hand, a lot of people, for understandable reasons, don't like virtual therapy as much as in-person therapy, right? It's harder to have that connection with people. So I think, you know, the hospital is a little different because there's that fear of
Going in there and getting sick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, we're up against the clock. MRSA. Professor Whitson, hopefully you'll come back because I have so many more questions, and it's obviously an ongoing issue.
Lifetime contract.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to be, it's a billable hour for you, I think.
Thanks for being on, Doctor.
Okay. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Well, she was fun.
Yeah.
Get her on again.
Good for parents.
We weren't just woofing here. We were saying we want to do this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!